The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Happy Thursday, friends, and welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show. Like all of you, I have just been sitting around for the last week and waiting for the Supreme Court to actually kind of, you know, get off the bench and issue an opinion and order on the vaccine mandate cases. What are they waiting for? They had an opinion day today, but ended up only issuing one opinion in a totally separate case, and everyone was poised waiting at 10 a.m. Eastern this morning, hoping that they would actually rule on this very critical case. And so I'm going to get an opinion from a good friend who is a legal expert and ask, what in the world are they waiting for? So that has been the number one question all of you have asked me over the last couple of days, and I think it's a very important question. So we will get to that. But first, a couple of headlines coming out of Canada. This is so insane how they are treating the unvaccinated. But first, a word from our sponsor, Legacy Precious Metals. They are the company that I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. No matter what happens, you always own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. You know our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Did you see Kamala Harris over the last couple of days with her just absolutely insane word salad nonsense rhetoric? They have no idea what they're doing. Meanwhile, oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. So we're already seeing record inflation, which some people like Bill Kristol is now blaming on Trump, which he started his tweet this morning saying, I'm not an economist, but let me blame this on Trump. I think he should have stopped right there. I'm not an economist. Yeah, we know that now, Billy. But you need to call Legacy Precious Metals today to invest in gold. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right, so Canada. A couple of things. First of all, the Premier Legault announced a new health contribution tax. That's what they're calling this, a health contribution for the unvaccinated Quebecers who will need to pay this unless they are medically exempt from COVID vaccines. Here's what he had to say.
The vaccine is the key to fight the virus. This is why we're looking for an health contribution for adults who refuse to be vaccinated for non-medical reasons. Those who refuse to receive their first dose in the coming weeks will have to pay a new health contribution.
All right, so that was Premier Legault speaking at a press conference earlier today and announcing that Quebec would be the first place to create a new quote-unquote health contribution for adults who have not yet taken the COVID vaccine for non-medical reasons. So notice not only how this is absolutely ridiculous and should not be coming from any government source in Canada, but notice the one thing that they're leaving out, a religious exemption or a personal conscience decision reason. So basically he's saying unless you have a valid medical reason, which he doesn't even articulate what exactly would qualify under a medically exempt reason and what type of doctor or healthcare professional might be able to issue one. But unless you have a medical reason, then you have to create a new health contribution to the government. He didn't specify the amount that unvaccinated individuals would be forced to pay. And according to Rebel News, which is one of the sources that I follow for some of the news out of Canada, they said that he did state the charge would be quote unquote significant, adding that a $50 or $100 fee would not be significant or meaningful. So he stated that the vaccine is the key to fight the virus, even though data doesn't actually suggest that. And this is why we're looking for a health contribution for adults who refuse to be vaccinated for non-medical reasons. And so those who continue to refuse a first dose of the vaccine in the coming weeks, he didn't specify a date, will have to pay the new health contribution. And so what exactly is this going for? Is this going to go for health-related, you know, with COVID versus of COVID? People who have been hospitalized. I mean, none of this makes sense. And Canada, the reason that I tend to follow, you know, not only global news, but specifically Canada, is because generally speaking, they are only a few steps ahead of where the United States tends to go, unfortunately, on a lot of these crazy restrictions if we don't get our government in line. This is why I am so frustrated that it has been a week now since the oral arguments and the Supreme Court still has not issued their opinion. Also in Canada, if you saw this from The Blaze, the headline is "Unvaccinated Parents and Their Four-Year-Old Leukemia Patient Son Will Be Evicted from the Ronald McDonald House Over Their Vaccine Status." Like my good friend from Daily Wire, Andrew Clavin, tweeted, "Would you like a side of fries with your unimaginable cruelty?" I think that was probably the best take because this is crazy evil. This is insane that if you were unvaccinated, now the Ronald McDonald House, which of course helps leukemia patients and other guests and visitors, will now have to show full proof of vaccination against COVID. And so according to local reports that The Blaze reported, the Ronald McDonald House of British Columbia and Yukon State, to all guests and visitors that they must show full proof because, quote, "these measures, in addition to an abundance of sanitizer and kindness, will help us ensure the safety of everyone at the house," the organization's website added. This is so insane. I can't even begin to talk about how disgusting and cruel this is and how the petty tyrants are trying to impose all of this, as Drew Clavin said, unimaginable cruelty against people who are choosing to remain unvaccinated, and especially now that we know the vaccines don't even work to prevent the contraction or the spread of COVID. There's literally no reason why any of these mandates are justifiable. But we're seeing a coordinated effort across the globe, not just here in America, for the petty tyrants to crack down on any unvaccinated individual and to put all of these harsh conditions in place that are just adding to the ushering in of socialism, of government control, of Marxist ideology, and we're moving rapidly toward a police state across the globe. And I'm going to have in the next coming weeks, I want to have a couple of different guests on this show to talk about the end times, because one of the other questions that I've gotten from a lot of you is, what do we think about Revelation? And do we think that we're actually in the end times with the birth pangs that Revelation speaks of, that Jesus, of course, spoke of as well when he was speaking of the end times in the Gospels? That's a very valid question. And I think that's a conversation absolutely worth having. So what about the Supreme Court? And my next guest, Josh Hamer, is going to talk with me about his speculation about what is the Supreme Court doing, his take on the oral argument. But first, vaccines have not eliminated the Chinese Fauci virus, so we all need extra protection for our immune systems, especially if, you know, you're not taking the vaccine. So my friends at Centurion Labs have combined five key ingredients to defend your immune system against allergies, colds, the flu, and even the coronavirus. It's called Centurion Defender, and it incorporates vitamin C, D, zinc, copper, and quercetin in just one capsule. No more swallowing 10 pills a day or not taking supplements because the individual cost is too high. Just like the Centurions of Rome led by example and held themselves to the highest possible standards, Centurion Labs has dedicated the last 15 years to research and develop safe, effective, and affordable healthcare products made in the USA that you can trust. So for a limited time, listeners of this podcast can save 20% off their first order of Centurion Defender when you visit centurionlabs.com/Jenna and use the promo code Jenna, that's J-E-N-N-A. Defend your health today with Centurion Defender. Go to centurionlabs.com/Jenna and enter the promo code Jenna, that's J-E-N-N-A. All right. Well, you never know what is going to happen when you're in the middle of recording a podcast. As I was recording this and getting Josh Hammer, who is my guest, to come on and speculate, you know, why haven't we heard from the court? Josh must be the lucky charm that America needed, because just now the Supreme Court has actually issued a per curiam opinion striking down the unconstitutional OSHA mandate, but keeping in place the Medicare, Medicaid mandate for healthcare workers. So, Josh, you are an attorney. You've clerked for a judge. You know the inner workings of kind of how judges think. You've been following this case. You're a prolific writer on Newsweek, op-ed contributor. So in the few minutes that we've had just to look over this opinion, what is your reaction to this decision?
So, Jenna, I'm happy to hear that I'm the good luck charm for the OSHA litigation here. So, look, these two cases, and we're kind of breaking this down for the audience literally in real time. Obviously, I've not had time to kind of go through with a fine-tooth comb here. But it looks like these two cases are coming down exactly the way that I think I and a lot of other court watchers expect them to, which is a 6-3 ruling staying the OSHA mandate. So that's actually exactly what I and a lot of my friends were predicting. Chief Justice Roberts, even on kind of this bread and butter kind of commerce clause, administrative state kind of issues. Those are kind of, that's kind of like the last remaining bucket of issues that he is anything other than cringe on, to kind of put it bluntly. So I kind of anticipated that. It looks like in the other case for federal healthcare workers with respect to Medicare and Medicaid programs that the chief and Kavanaugh have sided actually with the liberals. So you kind of get an Alito, Gorsuch, Thomas, Barrett dissent. So that's an unusual kind of 5-4 split. But it's true that the federal government does have larger regulatory ambit to regulate or to kind of put strings attached to the recipients of its own Medicare and Medicaid related hospital contracts. So overall, based on what I had heard oral argument, none of this is a particular surprise. The OSHA case is the bigger case. That's by far the more important here. It implicates way, way, way more people. Now, obviously, we're talking about employees at large firms across the country. I mean, 80, 90, 100 million Americans. I mean, however many it is. And good for the court, you know, good for the court here. This is the correct decision. It's reassuring that it came down in 6-3 fashion. So it'll be very difficult for kind of left wing court followers to spin this as kind of partisan hackery when even the Chief Justice is siding with the conservative bloc here. So good stuff. I'm definitely satisfied with this outcome.
Yeah, and I think that's really spot on analysis here. And what a lot of the legal and politicos, I think, were predicting after the oral arguments was probably that the OSHA mandate would get struck down because there is no statutory authority that Congress has given to OSHA for this kind of broad sweeping mandate. But because of the federal programs of Medicare, Medicaid, probably that mandate for healthcare workers would stay in place. So some people might say, you know, well, this is kind of a split the baby sort of decision. I don't particularly see it that way either. I think this is great for especially the OSHA mandate. And so what happens now, Josh, to all of these businesses and companies that have put in place protocols and other things to follow this mandate? Are they just going to now rewind and say, okay, now we're just going to drop everything? Or where does this leave the companies with 100+ more employees?
Well, it'll leave the companies to decide for themselves in states that permit them to decide for themselves. You know, I obviously in you know, Republicans, conservatives, even among themselves, have split on this issue, Jenna. They've kind of split on the issue of what private sector kind of vax mandates look or ought to look like at the state or local level. So, for example, in Florida here where I live, Governor DeSantis has effectively precluded, he has barred private sector, companies, corporations from requiring vaxes as a condition of employment. Not all Republican governors have taken that stand. Some kind of take the, more 1980s inspired, let every private business decide for itself line, so to speak. So it's going to depend on the specific state. And depending on the state that it's in, obviously, a corporation, a private employer may be able to impose a vax mandate, or in a case like Florida, it may not be able to impose a vax mandate. But this is a huge win, obviously, for conservatives. It's a huge win for anyone who kind of opposes COVID hysteria, more generally speaking. It's a huge win for Governor DeSantis and those like him who have taken the exact opposite approach of affirmatively precluding private sector employers from having their employees vax. So it's a win for a lot of people, but in most states throughout the country where there's not kind of a hard requirement one way or the other, it'll just be kicked back to the various employers to decide for themselves there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, the split between the states, like some states in Florida now that, Governor DeSantis is saying he won't allow anyone to impose a mandate. And then, of course, you have states and districts like D.C. that are forcing people to show a COVID vaccine card as our good friend Jack Posobiec tweeted earlier today, buy chicken wings, go see movies and get into gyms. And so, there's still this split among the states. And so as we're looking forward to where this kind of leaves things on the state level, do you anticipate that there's going to be a split, not just among what individual private businesses determined to do with their own policies and practices, but also now the government leadership on the state and local level, and that's going to have to be combated in the blue states and litigated?
So it'll be litigated, but there is Justice Sotomayor at the oral argument in the OSHA case, of course, at this point kind of infamously submitted that the federal government has a quote unquote police power that is analogous to what the states have. Justice Sotomayor basically said, quote, "So if it's within the police power to protect the health and welfare of workers, she was talking to Ohio Solicitor General here. She said, quote, "You seem to be saying the states can do it, but you're saying the federal government can't." And, Justice Sonia Sotomayor seems to need to go back to Common Law 101, because that's exactly true. The states do have police power, so to speak, over the health, morals, welfare, and general safety of their own populaces in a similar way that the federal government simply does not have that. So the states do have the ability to impose most of this. The litigation, I think, in most states, at least as far as the U.S. Constitution is concerned, will be fairly straightforward. Obviously, various state constitutions may have their own provisions depending on a state-by-state basis here. But no one really doubts that the U.S. Constitution permits the states within kind of our federalist structure and our system of governance from imposing kind of a private sector vax requirement if they wanted to. So I don't expect there to be a ton of federal constitutional litigation on this issue. There definitely might be some kind of state level constitutional or statutory litigation. But, again, this is a huge rebuke to Sotomayor. It's a huge rebuke to kind of, constitutional ignoramuses in general who don't know the difference between what the states and the federal government can do. And it's really just Common Law 101. And like I said at the beginning, Jenna, it's encouraging that the Chief Justice, no matter how much he has shifted to the left, at least remember some of his Common Law 101 stuff from law school.
Yes. And I think all of us who've taken Common Law 101 or who just are at all literate in the separation of powers and also federalism and, some of these very basic structural concepts in our government, were shocked to hear Sotomayor not express that well from the bench and either try to slip that in there or just blatantly show her ignorance. So that's kind of a good way to wrap this up here, Josh. What is the now, in your opinion, the perception of the public? I mean, I think everyone has been discouraged and maybe a little bit concerned over the last week that it took us this long to get an opinion, when now it appears that the reason that they were waiting is because we have this more full and robust opinion rather than just a ruling on the emergency stay. So that's actually good. But in terms of faith in our institutions and seeing that this was a 6-3 opinion, and so the justice, like Sotomayor, kind of got put in her place in this one, that's a good thing. Do you think that there will be renewed faith in America in at least the ability of the Supreme Court to enforce, as you very aptly put it, con law 101?
I guess yes, to an extent. This is a pretty pivotal Supreme Court term, as you and I both know. Obviously, we have the Dobbs abortion case up Mississippi, which is the most direct in the crosshairs challenge to Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey in the past 30 years. There's a major Second Amendment case out of New York State with that could move the ball forward on concealed carry and carry rights in general. And we're still waiting to hear whether the justice will grant cert and agree to hear the affirmative action case out of Harvard, which, you know, I mean, that could, if the court ultimately grants cert in that case, I don't know what the heck they're waiting for. That could put a huge dagger into affirmative action doctrine, which is in a terrible state. So we should all be rooting for that. So there's a lot of kind of major issues out there. And all three of those issues, from my perspective, are more important than administrative law, the likes of which was the kind of underlying basis for today's OSHA decision. So I don't want to overstate what happened today. It's a good decision, and it's good that the Chief Justice kind of remembers basic, again, common law 101 on commerce clause, administrative law kind of stuff. But the proof will be in the pudding. We're going to know a lot more at the end of this term. The Dobbs case in particular is something that all of us should be paying extraordinarily close attention to. But look, I remember watching from my home office back in September, I guess it was, when President Biden first gave his national address talking about the OSHA mandate. It was monstrously tyrannical. It was one of the most tyrannical speeches I have ever heard a sitting president give. I believe at the time I tweeted something to the effect that this is orders of magnitude more harrowing than anything Barack Obama himself ever said when he was president of the United States. And it definitely is reassuring that, I guess it's about 3.5-4 months later now, we have seen the justice put a stay on it. But look, I mean, here's the kind of broader point, and, you know, maybe I'll kind of close out on this note. The broader point here is that, and I've discussed this with you on air before, Jenna, I know, the progressive justices have been doing this now for almost a century, where they are inherently outcome-oriented for all intents and purposes. They are outcome-oriented and do not give a you-know-what about any kind of purported statutory constitutional constraints on what kind of policies they can enact from the bench. The question is whether we on the legal right will kind of recover a sense of kind of the fundamentally conservative ends, the telos, to which our constitutional order is ultimately structured, and imbue our jurisprudence with that to better counter this threat from the left, or if we would just double down on what has failed for the past 25, 30 years. So it's a mixed bag as far as kind of the long-term results. I guess the proof will be in the pudding, but obviously today is by and large a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of us who love and cherish the Constitution feel like this is a bit of a reprieve in a sense, and the direction of the country is not going as far left as it could have if this decision had upheld OSHA's mandate. And so we are very extremely grateful for that. As you said, you know, there's still some very important opinions that we're waiting on, especially including Dobbs. And so I'll look forward to getting your take on that one as soon as the Supreme Court releases its opinion, which I don't really expect, frankly, until June, since it's probably regardless of how they hold, one of the most controversial opinions apart from the one today. But Josh, thanks so much for your time and your insight. And where can people read your work, find you, and support your podcast as well?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Josh_Hammer. And you can also find us, obviously, on newsweek.com/opinion. That's the op-ed page that I run. And you can also find all of our various podcasts there at Newsweek as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time.
You bet. Anytime.
Well, friends, this ended up being a great day. And thank you for all of you who asked questions and wanted to know what was the Supreme Court waiting for. Well, I was very appreciative to get Josh's take. And, you know, you never know what happens when you're in the middle of recording. And I think none of us expected this decision to drop in the afternoon. If anything, we were expecting it at 10 a.m. During the regular opinions drops. But this is a great day for America. I think that we have hope that our Supreme Court will actually uphold the Constitution, at least in some critical ways. So this just reinforces that we need to always be praying for our leaders, praying for this nation, and always, always, always fighting the fights that need fighting. Because if there weren't organizations like the ACLJ, Alliance Defending Freedom, companies like Daily Wire and others that are willing to stand against these types of petty, tyrannical, overreaching, unconstitutional, overbearing, all of those adjectives that you can possibly insert, mandates, then we wouldn't have gotten to this opinion today. So it is always, always, always worth it to stand up, stand firm, and rely on the rule of law and say, no, government, sorry, you can't. So as Americans, we need to collectively pray, stand firm, and we will continue to have the victory. So speaking of victory, my good friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow also has not backed down. So on this day of fantastic celebration, you know, we opened the show saying, what is the Supreme Court waiting for? And we're closing the show in victory. So we can go and support Mike Lindell at MyPillow.com today and, you know, buy some victory pillows or some victory slippers like what I'm wearing right now. They are so comfortable. And so Mike Lindell at MyPillow refuses to be canceled. He is a great American patriot that is standing up firmly in the face of tyrannical government and saying, no, you will not silence, you will not censor me. Even though he has been canceled out of all of the box stores because they're run by liberal leftists, he relies on great American patriots like you and me to continue supporting his great company, Made in the USA. And right now he has a 6-piece towel set, 2 bath, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths that are made in the USA, regularly $109.99 and now just $39.99. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, enter the promo code Jenna and save today while supporting Mike Lindell.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.